you are always so, so kind. Today, my topic is on joy. And I was just telling Joanna yesterday that I'm preaching on joy. And this morning, she says, I want to give you something. And she gave me Joy from Christian Dior. It's a perfume in there. And she, you know, we got ourselves sprayed with joy. And this morning, as a symbol, oh, can you see that thing? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can see that thing as a symbol, you know, and the music team as well. We want to be able to spread the joy. Indeed, it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength, isn't it? And you can't find this anywhere, but to me, the acronym of joy for me today, all right, and this is not found anywhere, it's just my own coinage, is the words J-O-Y, which is the joy of Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. It's the joy of Jesus. Last week, if you remember, Pastor said, don't be the grumpy old man. He was referring to the fathers. And I think we so need the joy of Yeshua so that we will not become grumpy old men or grumpy old women. Women can also be grumpy. We can nag. Yeah. Nagging is like the dripping of the tap. Tung, 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 still going. So we don't want that. We want the joy of the Lord. You see, joy is relational. Joy comes when we have fellowship with God, who is the joyful one. And then we are able, from the fellowship with God, be able to express joy with other people. Joy is relational. It must be shared. It cannot be enjoyed alone all the time. Some of us are very joyful on our own all the time, but it cannot be enjoyed alone. You need to be able to share it with people. Can you imagine laughing aloud in public? You can't. You can't express joy that way. You'll be quite weird. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Do you know that when you share fruit, fruit actually tastes sweeter? When you share food, next week is going to be our lunch. When you share food, food actually tastes a lot better. In my household, before I got married, we've got four other siblings. So together with mom and dad, we've got seven. Food tastes so good. And then I got married. It's only just Henry and myself. Food still tastes good. But it wasn't as good as when we were like snatching. You know what I'm saying? But now it's good because we've got now a family of six. So, whoa, food is good again. But joy is relational. Pastor Dexter in one of the Sundays preached about joy of being in Christ. And I remember Pastor coming up here to conclude the service. Pastor, the word that you spoke about the well was really, really powerful. I just felt that when I was sitting there, when you concluded with saying that we are the well, it is almost as if God dug a well in me, you know. Like he dug a spiritual well in me, a well of living water. Just as Yeshua is a well of living water. Tell you what, we are all having this well of salvation in us. And talking about wells, we had such a hilarious time when we were in Shanto. We went back to our ancestral home. We thought we would go there and take a look at what's happening there. We saw this well in a heritage home. So we saw the well. We says, oh, well. Well, it's just a well. We don't know what a well is, really. My mother, who lived in the era of the wells, because she was the third girl in a family of 11. So that's a lot of family members to draw water for. She drew water from the well when she was a young girl. And she got excited. She says, well. And she went and she showed us how she threw the string in with the bucket and drew up the water. And we were laughing at the well. It was a hilarious moment just drawing water from that well. And because I was so full of well when Pastor talked about well on that Sunday morning, on prayer meeting, I prayed about the well. And then, Robert, where are you? Today I'm using Robert's words as the focus point. Robert quoted Isaiah 12:3. If you haven't read Isaiah 12:3 or Isaiah 12, today you have a treat. We're going to get water from the well of salvation. And Robert says, from the scriptures, he says, with joy. So not with Joyce Meyer, but with joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. And we're going to learn from Isaiah 12 how we can draw with joy water from the wells of salvation. We don't know much about wells. We know about running taps and all that. But at that time of Isaiah, the well of salvation was so needed because they were under Assyrian captivity. Israel was under Assyrian captivity. Assyrian warriors are very mighty. They have got about 186,000 fighting men. And in the Bible, the Assyrians were known as a cedar tree. The cedar tree is a very tall, towering, mighty tree. And that was how the Assyrians were being described. But Isaiah prophesied a day that Israel will no longer be in captivity. The joy of Israel will be restored. And so if you read Isaiah later on, in verse 1, I think, he says, in that day, two times in that short passage, in that day is being mentioned. Yes, Israel was under Assyrian captivity, but in that day, when Messiah would come to rule, Israel will be free from Assyrian captivity. In that day, the Assyrians will be wiped out. And like the cedar tree, and if you do research on the cedar tree, once the cedar tree is being chopped down, it will never grow again. It will never rise again. It was finished forever. When God set you free, you are free indeed. Amen. But in that day, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, like the stump of the oak tree, will not be destroyed. If you chop down an oak tree, the oak tree will grow again. That's why in Isaiah 11, Jesus was mentioned, Yeshua was mentioned there as the root and the shoot of that oak tree. It will rise again. It cannot be killed. I've got good news for you. It's not just a spray of joy that is unstoppable and will be lingering. It is a joy of Yeshua, like the oak tree, that will be unstoppable. I've got good news. We are living in that day. What the Old Testament prophesied, what Isaiah talked about, we are living in that day. Because in that day, Messiah has been born. Yeshua has died. Jesus has resurrected. And our Lord has ascended. So that we can experience the joy of Yeshua. The saga of joy continues with us. So how then do we have joy in our relationship with God as well as relationship with others? Remember, we said that joy is relational. How then do we enjoy this life with our God and with other people? The first word, which is a very important word. And Jack, you just sang the song. You didn't sing it like you sang that word. But you sang that song, whom the sun sets free. I am who I am. I call this word re-scripting. Re-script is a very strong word. Wow, I didn't know. I thought re-script means go and write a script and then you write again. You know, re-script. Re-script is a very powerful word. If you check the dictionary, re-script is an official announcement from the Roman emperor. So if you ask something and the Roman emperor replies you or tells you or announces to you, it is called a rescript. It is as good as truth, it is as good as a mandate and a decree. And here it says, whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. You are who you are. If the Lord says you are free, means you are free. The rescript of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. It's very powerful. Oh, I can feel the joy. All right, let's go to the joy passage in Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, first of all. It says, in that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy. Wow, Robert. You release by faith, I receive by faith, huh? The scripture that you give. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You cannot have joy when you go through a hard time, isn't it true? This is very logical. How can you have a good time when you are going through a difficult time? But you cannot have joy unless you know that God has given you the rescript. Because God can revoke your pain and your suffering and reinstate you to a joyous state. Wow. See, God was angry with Israel. You know why God was angry with Israel? Because Israel tested God's patience. They sin and rebel and rebel. And God was angry. God calls them an ungodly nation. And they were a people of God's wrath. If you read Isaiah 10, that's what the Bible tells us. And because of that, they were under the captivity of the Assyrians. And if the Assyrians were not bad enough, the Babylonians came afterwards. And then not only were they captured, they were actually exiled. God was angry. Of course, God was angry with Israel for sinning, because God hates everything that opposes his moral character. Do you know that? God hates anything and everything that opposes to his moral character, because sin is hateful and sin is worthy to be hated. Recently, if you listen to the news, you realize that North Bridge is having a surge of violence, yeah? And can you imagine if North Bridge don't have any police to patrol around? Can you imagine if North Bridge is left to its own devices? I don't think we'll like Mark McGowan very much. His popularity poll would have plummeted if not for the fact that he was able to bring law and order to not only to our state, but also to North Bridge. A God that does not hate sin is not worthy of worship. Because if it does not hate sin, then he is not just and he is not holy. It won't be safe to live anywhere on earth if God is not holy and just. It's not safe if North Bridge is going to be full of violence. It's not safe if law and order is not there. That means our government is not just and not able to bring violence under subjection. It's not safe. God will not be worthy of our worship if he does not hate sin. Because then we only relegate him to human status. Because human beings does one thing really well. We do sin well. But not God. But as believers, we need to feel no fear of God's anger. Pastor John Yates would always say, God doesn't punish his children. We have no fear of God's anger, because if you read Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, it says that although we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, we now trust in Jesus who delivers us. There's a rescript there. Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. Because the death of Jesus turned anger away. Because if Jesus did not bear our anger, anger will still remain. Wow. Wow. God has rescripted us. That's why he says, surely God is your salvation. Don't be afraid. Just trust him. He will be your strength and he will be your salvation and your defense. So one of the things that is very important is if you want to have joy, you must know what God has prescribed for your life, or else you will keep reverting to old ways and to old scripts. I would say this to you, and this is also spoken by my Bible college teacher. She said, you know, you must make every effort not to sin. Yes, I remember that saying, yes, I will make every effort not to sin because I'm delivered from the power of sin. And then he says, we can aim to be sinless. Wow, that's amazing. But when your Bible college teacher tells you that, you listen in. And I listen in, I aim to be sinless. Because like Jesus, we can be totally dependent and attached to him for help to be sinless. You see, if you have got the well, one of the very important things about the well is not just the well. You dig the well, the water is clean and everything else. There is something you need to do. And in Genesis 29, it tells us that if you want to keep your well water clean, you got to put a stone above it. And the last time when Pastor was preaching, was concluding the service and was talking about the well, I remember saying that we need to cover our well. We need to cover our well. Right now, in modern times, they cover the well with a well cap. So you don't leave your water sort of like vulnerable to the attacks of the nature, because a lot of things can actually enter. Debris can go in, insects can go in, small animals can fall in, and as a result, your water can be polluted, your water can be unserviceable. It cannot be given to anybody to drink. You need to cover your well. And you remember Pastor Dexter says about Troy? If they allow the Trojan horse to come into the city of Troy, if Troy opens its door to the enemy, you see, the enemy, the Greeks, have been trying to attack the city of Troy for many years, 10 years actually, could never do it, you know, the enemy is too strong. Troy was a very, very strong city. But that time, they thought of a plan, the Greeks thought of a plan. They wanted the Trojan horse to come into the city because in the Trojan horse were brilliant, excellent Greek fighters. They came in, disguised in this wooden horse, came in and took the whole of the city of Troy down. We must not allow anything ungodly to enter our lives because it can unsettle us and it can also unsettle other people. But hey, I've got good news. The good news is that Jesus rescript our life and our destiny. When we do sin, and if we are remorseful, and we turn away, and we repent, and God has forgiven us, don't keep nursing and cursing and rehearsing our old hurts. Because our old hurts, our old ways, our old scripts can be like the emotional debris that will choke up the well of our salvation. It will muddle up the water that God has poured so fresh. So fresh. Every time you come for Sunday service, the Word of God is like water, so fresh, springing into your well. But if you keep having old scripts that you nurse and you curse yourself or others, and you keep rehearsing the old scripts in your mind the whole time, you're going to muddle up the water and make the water undrinkable. When Jesus asked the woman at the well to give him a drink, the woman couldn't give him a drink. I tell you why. Because the woman didn't feel worthy, like I'm dirty. I am ostracized. I am penalized. Because the Samaritan woman at the well was thick in her sin, having slept with many men. But you see, when Jesus forgave her, she turned 180 degrees. With joy, she drew water from her well of salvation. She went around telling the people in her town that Jesus was the Messiah. Her life was rescripted. She found freedom in Christ. When you know that God is no longer angry with you, you are no longer fearful. That's exactly how the Samaritan woman felt. She discovered Jesus despite her wrongdoing. And when someone cares enough about us to share our distressing feelings, just like Jesus did share her distressing feelings and still was with her, she no longer feel alone. Wow. You know what? Research has shown that if we believe in a loving God, that our mental health would actually improve. Research has also shown that if you believe in a God that punishes you, you believe in a God that is unloving, that you don't know when God is going to come with a baton somewhere to hit you. I don't know about you. Some of us have got father images that are like that. I used to live under one like that until he became a Christian and until I became also re-scripted in my life. I used to be very scared of my father because my father is a very strict Asian man. Dark complexion, so looks very fierce. Doesn't smile much, doesn't tell us much. I don't remember him kissing me. That's why it was hard to kiss him on his deathbed. It was really, really hard. But we have got father images like that. And we sometimes think of God like that as well. Like, I don't know when God is going to watch what I'm doing and hit me with a bat. It's not going to happen. Because research has shown that if we keep thinking like that, you won't be able to enjoy good mental health, let alone to have joy. Joy is a freeing thing, you know. It's not just, hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine. It's not, it's a well, you know, that you dig, you know. It's not like just a little puddle of water. It's a well that comes from here. Unfettered, free. So if we only believe in a script that is not going to help us, we're going to get stuck in our own emotions. And Jesus allowed the Samaritan woman to express her personal pain, and then he provided a grounding for her. The grounding was when Jesus accepted her unconditionally and forgave her without any sort of condition. And because of that, her life received comfort and a sense of purpose. She now knew that it is not impossible to be forgiven. And in that loving presence of the Lord at the well, so interesting, huh? At the well, joy for the first time came into her heart. You know what I desire for you this morning? I desire for joy to be on you, because joy comes from having a powerful relationship with Yahweh. We have been a church for so long. We are matured Christians. A lot of us have been here for a long time. We have got a powerful relationship with Yeshua. But you know what Yeshua wants to give to us in that powerful relationship? He wants to give us joy. And I pray that we will discover more and more of this joy. You know, Jesus is not just glad to be with you. Jesus is not just, you know, tolerating you like, oh, you come to church, okay. Yeah, can do, just sit, yeah, yeah. Not tolerating you. Jesus actually loves us. Jesus actually, I tell you what, likes us. If you know that somebody loves you, and then on top of that, likes you, it's very different. If you like somebody, you would just love to do things for them, isn't it? If you don't like somebody and been told to do to serve them, you're kind of like, yeah, what to do? Serve them lah, right? But if you are joyful and you love it, you like it, I tell you what, you pluck from the very inside of your being anything that's going to express your love for the other person. God loves to give us joy. God loves to give us joy. Well, the Samaritan woman had joy which was a very fundamental thing to a person's well-being. And when she received the joy, she received strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you feel weak, try joy. This morning, usually I will pray for you and I'll pray over the sermon. And this morning I resume my, so terrible to share my praying life with you, but I need to share because it's going to glorify God. Usually I would like go on the floor and kneel and like flat out, you know, and like, oh God, help me, help them, help everyone. This morning I just felt that God says, no, 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 stand up. No need to kneel, no need to flatten out, no need to cry, just stand up. Because I was preaching about joy. Wow, God wants us to have joy. When we have joy, we'll be able to have the strength to relate to other people. And for the Samaritan woman, she dared to face her town. We must be daring to face the city of Perth with our joy. Not like, you want to fight? I fight with you. No. We want to face the city of Perth with our joy. Because grace also means joy. Wow. God. So good. You are deep in thoughts. Is it bubbling? Because the second part is a bubbling part. The first part is just, now it's bubbling. Because the second few verses of Isaiah, if you look at Isaiah verses 4 to 6, is this word I call rejoice. Rejoice. By the way, in my notes, I don't have verse 4 to 6. So I'm going to ask, Pastor, would you read 4 to 6 for me? Thank you.
Verse 4, at that time, you will say, praise the Lord, ask him for help, publicize his mighty acts among the nation, make it known that he is unique, sing to the Lord, for he has done magnificent things, let this be known throughout the earth, cry out and shout for joy, O citizen of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel act mightily among you.
Got a better voice for those verses. It's really one of the things that I really appreciate about Pastor all these years is his voice. Yeah, really. Because afterwards, you know, there's going to be a point talked about shouting. Shouting is a very good spiritual act. And Pastor has a good voice for that. Rejoicing is an activity. The Samaritan woman went round the town. He didn't kind of like keep the joy like, ooh, so nice, Jesus, heal me. So nice, Jesus, forgive me. No, no, no. He went to the town. She told everyone that she found joy in Yeshua. Rejoicing is an activity. It's not an emotional state of being. If you want to feel happy, don't just feel it. Do something about it. And if you wait for the feeling to come before you take action, you can wait for a long time. So I would rather you take action to rejoice, and then the feelings of joy will come. See, David says in Psalm 87, 7, he says, all God's springs of joy, Pastor said about the spring, God's springs of joy are in us. It's already in you. Don't go and find it. Now you want to learn how to express it. It's already in you. God's springs of joy are in you because the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of joy, lives within us. So when you know that God is not angry with you and God has rescripted you, then you are no longer afraid. Because if you are afraid, you will not be able to experience perfect love. Because perfect love casts out fear. So joy is gladness. It is that triumphant elation, expecting to have something that you love or you desire. I want to tell you this. Christian joy is not wishful thinking like, oh, you only wish for joy. Ay, very wishful. Or it's not positive confession. Verse it. No, confess joy. Huh? Verse it. Still sad. Okay, confess some more. It's not. It is like a well. Well takes time to dig. And when the Holy Spirit put that well of salvation in us, it took 33 years of Jesus' life and then the gruesome death on the cross before that well can be dug in us. It takes work. Our joy is rooted in the Lord's salvation. That's why with joy, Nina, so good, huh? With joy, we can draw water from the wells of our salvation. Water is new beginnings. That's why it's so exciting that we have got the new thing that God is going to do. Water represent new beginning. Water represent creation. So when we speak to others or relate to others, when we have the effect of water on people, it means that whatever we say refreshes them and give them new beginning and give them new creativity to live this life. And we can become that people of influence of joy, the joy of Yeshua to not just our church. That means the people of Zion in Isaiah 12. We can also give this joy to our world and also to the nations as Isaiah 12 tells us. So how then do we do it? There are three ways we can do it. One is through stories. One is through stories. In that day, if you read verse 4, in that day when Messiah comes and rule, and Messiah has already come and rule, make known what he has done and proclaim that his name is exalted. Make people know that God is great and what God has done through your stories and through your testimonies. I just heard on TV the other day, WA Museum is now renaming their building. And they call it, you know what, in the Aboriginal name, it calls it, I'm trying to memorize it, Bula Badit. Go and Google. Bula Badit means many stories. WA Museum has many stories to tell you about WA. We have many stories to tell of what God has done for us in our lives. So we need to tell it, because when you tell it, you exalt his name. Can I tell you a story? Hot from the oven. I've been waiting to tell you this story. See, last year I've been wanting to do up a little bit of the garden. And so one of the things which I really want to do is to replace the cushions in my garden. We've got some cushion, what do you call that, sofa, and so we want to put garden chairs, so we want to put the cushions there, but there are four oversized cushions, very hard to get. I've looked last year, looked everywhere, but couldn't find, and then the COVID hit, and I said, never mind, no one is going to come to the garden to sit anyway, so left it alone, and then the gray of the cushion became purple, and then as the day went, it became lighter purple, and I said, it's time. And so this time I said, yes, I must go get the cushion replaced. And I said, God, please help me. Usually when I go shopping, even when I cook, when I do anything, I'll pray. I say, God, please help me. And so I prayed, and no shop in this area, I don't know why, sells my cushion. So finally, in desperation, I asked the shop that I bought the garden chairs from. I said, where can I find these cushions, you know? And he says, try Bunnings. Bunnings, ayo. Anyway, I went to Bunnings because, you know, I was told to go there. And I was shopping, and I saw on top of the shelf, wrapped in plastic bag, four cushions, exactly the size I want, the right color. And so I said, hey, how come so high up, you know? So I took all the whatever, and I climbed up, and I took it down, and I went to the salesman, and I said, look, I want to buy these things. And he said, no, this is on special order. I said, what are that? Okay, I said, never mind. Okay, all right. I'm not convinced because this is the one. So I went to the cashier. I said, would you cash in for me? And she says, oh, this is special order. What? Special order? So I said, no, this is a prayer. I can feel the prayer being answered. And I said, all right, if this is from special order delivery, then I must go to the special order department. Bunnings got a special order department. So I went to this guy. I said, look, I really would love to buy these cushions. He says, oh, this one is special order. I said, yeah, I heard that 3 times. I said, but would you be able to check? And he checked the system, couldn't track the person. The more he was confused, the more elated I was, because it's like, if nobody's going to have it, I'm going to have it. He checked the system. Cannot be, you know, cannot be, cannot be, cannot be, cannot be. Finally, he says, tell you what. No, no, no. I will make the decision. Says you can have them. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. Anyway, I just want to give you a little bit of suspense, but you kind of like, yeah, yeah, good, good. Yeah, he says you can have it. And then usually if you buy one of those cushions, oversized, it's about $40, $50, you know, very expensive. So anyway, he says, you can have it for $35. I said, per cushion? He says, no, for the whole lot. What can I say? The Lord has done a glorious thing in my garden. So you tell the story. You tell the story, okay? You've got so many stories. You've got to tell the stories. Bula Badip. Yes, tell many stories, all right? We are not a museum. We are a living organism. We are a living place. We are a tabernacle of God. We've got many, many stories that God is going to show to us. So tell the stories. The second thing I want to say is that we can express our joy by singing. By singing. It says in verse 5, in that day again, when Messiah comes and rules, which is already now, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Many of us know God for our strength, because we always ask him, oh God, please give me strength, give me strength. One of the best things that we had recently was my friend through Zoom, because now we are doing Zoom gym. Every Tuesday, I do a Zoom gym with my friends in Singapore, and one of them prayed just last Tuesday. Says, God, we're not going to ask anything from you today. Wow. We're just going to bless you and thank you. How many of us have God for our strength? But the greater question is, how many of us have God for our song? There is a place to form around a shed fear or a problem, but that's not the desirable long term. I don't plan to be counseling the whole time and bring counseling to the church and counsel the whole time. That's not my long term plan. My plan is to be able to have the joy of the Lord, be able to build joyful lives, most parts of our life. We can build joyful lives by singing. And we can sing because there are 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. 10,000 reasons to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to bless the Lord and also to bless one another. We have got mirror neurons in us. When you sing, others will sing. If you whistle, others will whistle. If you say nice things, others will say nice things. I was going into the lift one day and I saw this neighbor who was from my mother's apartment, and he was there in the lift, and I saw him and I said, Ape! And he called me Ape! Because you echo back, you understand? I call him Ape. He calls me Ape, you know? Ape means old man. I call him old man, he calls me old man. Not because I'm an old man. Mirror neuron, okay? So when you sing, others will sing. If you are joyful, others will be joyful. And we have got plenty to rejoice about, because we are full of provisions. Our supermarkets are full of pasta, yay! Full of meat, yay! Full of toilet paper, yay! We enjoy health because we are COVID-free for many days. We are safe, we are protected, we are immunized. We have so many privileges. 10,000 reasons to sing. Oh, Pastor. Oh. Shigeki Hinohara was a medical doctor, and he lived up to 105. And when he was living, his motto was to have fun. And so the hospital that he worked in, St. Luke International Hospital, provided music therapy. And Shigeki says this. He says, pain is mysterious, and having fun is the best way to forget it. No wonder David established the tabernacle with 24/7 of praise and worship. Because he realized that when we have so much pain in our lives, the way to forget it is to be in the presence of joy. Because one of the most core emotional need all of us have, and we sometimes don't want to admit it, but we do need this very, very much. And I'm learning to do this a little bit more. I used to be quite this thing, but now I'm relearning it. And that is that we need to be more spontaneous and we need to play. We need to be more spontaneous and we need to play. And when we sing, we are spontaneous and we are playful. When we dance with music, we are spontaneous and we are playful. Something happens in us. Something is stirred up in us. Our dopamine levels are all stirred up when we are playful and we are spontaneous. And if we want to hit Perth with joy, we need to play here. We need to be spontaneous here. We need to play instruments with the joy of the Lord. We need to play all our vocal cords with the joy of the Lord here. Then we know how to express out there. Sing in that day. The day has come. Don't wait for that day. Don't wait for that fine day where you can sing. No, this is the day, because Messiah has already come and has already exchanged all our burdens, our brokenness with gladness and with beauty. Some of us are so straight-jacketed in responsibilities and burdens, you can feel tight and serious. I'm the firstborn in the family, and so I'm very straight-jacketed. I may have a very fun and nice personality. Oh, nice. Did I say nice? I have a fun-loving personality, but because of my background and because I'm the firstborn, I can be very straight-jacketed in responsibilities. I've always been made to take responsibility, even in school, you know, prefect and, you know, and things like this, you know. Like, oh, but I am free because Jesus rescripted me to be free and full of joy. He says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. God has rescripted us. And there is time to shout, to shout. In that day when Messiah comes and rules, verse 6 says, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. When God scores a goal, you shout. When God scores a goal, you shout. When you know that He's not angry with you, you are no longer afraid, and you will shout. You cannot shout when you are afraid. Isn't it true? My brother drives a taxi in Singapore. One day he was driving this guy, and finally when the taxi stops, the man gets out, didn't pay his fare. And he was shocked because he got up, he was shocked, he was afraid. And then he wanted to say, oi, you come back. Right? Nothing comes out. Why? Scared. You cannot shout when you are afraid. But if you are no longer afraid, then you will be able to shout, and to shout with joy. In Isaiah 12, the prophet commanded us to shout to the Lord. You know, the world drinks to shout. I have not been to. The other day, we just went to the pub with our new in-laws. But I've not been to a pub. That was the first time. And I do hear reports that when you go to pubs and clubs and all the rest of it, you know, you drink, and then you kind of like, whoa, it rises up, huh? You drink, and then, whoa, your voice rises up, huh? I don't know, I speak naturally so loud. I don't drink, but but anyway, the world drinks to shout, to have a good time. In fact, you ask them to shut up, they cannot shut up. They just want to say, because the alcohol level. We are drunk with the Spirit. We drink from the Holy Spirit, from the fountain, from the well that is dug so deep inside of us in the Holy Spirit. When we drink of the Holy Spirit, we can shout to the Lord. Amen. So if you have got some aches and pains, you know what? I tell you what, don't go on the floor anymore. Get up and shout to the Lord, huh? Okay? When you're feeling sad, like nothing seems to satisfy you, the best food doesn't seem to, you seem to enjoy, yeah? Put down all your food, all your gears, everything, and shout to the Lord. Let everything that is inside come out of you. And then you ask God to fill you again with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of Yeshua. I have to conclude this with a story from Singapore. I was just talking with my pastor's wife in Singapore, and she said she's taken a new job in the music school. And the pastor, the husband said, you know, she's very happy in the workplace because the workplace used to be very, very tense. But ever since Caris, and Caris means joy as well, ever since Caris, my pastor's wife from Singapore, went to this place, the place was more engaging. Because she has got a very animated sort of a personality. And do you know that if you're very animated and very enthusiastic, you actually do get people to be very enthusiastic as well. If you talk fast, people will talk fast. If you talk slow, people will talk slow. So she is the very animated type, and her eyes are like... And so when you look at her, all the people dilate, you know, you tend to then, you know, get a little bit... Well, that's what happens if you go to a party, for example. Do you know why people are just so able to like be loose and let loose and foot loose and everything, and then they get, because their eyes actually dilate. When your eyes dilate, when your pupils dilate, not eyes, sorry, your pupil. When your pupil dilate, it actually expresses your excitement. When you're full of the joy of the Lord, your pupils not only dilate, it sparkles. Your eyes will sparkle with joy. Truly, truly, truly. And we don't have to ask this from anybody, no technique. This is not a technique. This is living by the Holy Spirit power. We need to have more joy. This nation needs more joy. Perth actually needs more joy. And so anyway, my pastor's wife went to this new workplace. And one of the things she said she has learned is that she has learned to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. A thermometer takes the temperature of the surrounding. A thermostat sets the temperature. We need to set the temperature for joy, because we have fellowship with the Lord, and the Lord will gift us with this gift of joy because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, okay, we are here. How do we do this? Fill us, and fill us all over again. Amen. Rescript. Know what is the rescript of God? It's an order from God. If God sets you free, you are free. Indeed, you are who you are. And that God is no longer angry with you, and that God doesn't want you to be afraid anymore. God wants you to come out of that zone to rejoice. Rejoice with your stories. Rejoice with your singing. And rejoice with your shouting. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And let's get the musicians to come. And... continue this time of joy. Wow, panting. Must do more Zoom gym. Smells so good, huh? I'm gonna spray on the giver. All right, come on. Let's bring the people to a height of joy. Amen. Only in the Lord, huh? We can go deep into the wells of God and draw water. Amen. It takes a bit of skill, you know. I saw my mother do it so effortlessly because she's been training herself so long. But if you have not been taking water from the well, it's a bit tough, huh? But don't worry. If you're kind of like straight jacketed, wiggle a bit. Right, wiggle a bit, and if you are usually quite joyful, let your body bless the Lord today. Amen.
am I that the highest King could welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. All His love for me. All His love for me. At last He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me.
Bible tells us that out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. That word belly means out of the most innermost being. The innermost being that you are created in His image. That He has put His spirit within you as new creation, new man and woman in God. Father, I pray that Your joy will break forth. I pray for a release of Your joy. Remove every dirt of this world, every dirt of guilt and accusation, every dirt of God that has blocked this well. Remove it by the power of Your Spirit. Bring a renewing and a strengthening within as Your joy breaks forth. Lord, let it be seen in our face. Let it be seen in our face shining for You. Let it be seen in our words, O God, singing for You, telling our story and shouting of who You are. I speak of this release today in the house. A new level to be released in the house of God. Lord, we thank You that You have not given us the spirit of heaviness. Lord, You have given us the spirit of praise and worship. And You have given us the spirit of joy. Break it forth right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Now don't be in a hurry to go. Go out fellowship. Don't be in a hurry to go. Go out and smile at each other. Laugh. Not laughing at each other, but laughing with God's joy. Why would you want to hear Joy Meyer when we got Kara Hain? The Lord bless you.